Okay, so again, we're in the Midrash Rabbah. We are in the letter at the top of the page, which is cut off, it's Perek Pei Dalet and letter Chaf, which you can see there. Now we're going to be talking here about the Psukim that talks about tearing of clothing in a way which is seen as either a form of punishment or something people have to endure. But it breaks off into some very interesting and challenging ways of perceiving how one might be involved in a situation where, through that situation, God forbid, another person is punished. So it starts off like this. Vayikra Yaakov Simlosa. Yaakov Avinu, he tears his clothing, and this, of course, is when the Shvatim, his sons, bring back the Ksonis Pasim, Yosef's coat, and they had dipped it in the blood of a goat, and they said, Chayaroa Chalasu, and a wild animal has consumed your son Yosef. Yaakov sees it, and he is in a state of mourning now for the next 22 years. And actually, he says, Chayaroa Chalasu. And then the Midrash wants to look at this tearing of Yaakov Avinu's clothes is one facet of the expression of the grief that he's going through. He's feeling tremendous grief in his whole being, and one facet of it is that he tore his clothing upon seeing the coat. Rabbi Pinchas b'shem Rabbi Hoshea Omar. Rabbi Pinchas says in the name of Rabbi Hoshea, Shvatim gormu la'aviyam likroa. The Shvatim, his sons, the tribes of Israel, they caused their father to have to tear his clothing. But they brought this coat, it was full of blood, and as a result of what they did, he tore his clothing. They caused that. So the Midrash says, taking it for granted, it must be that they're punished for that. So where? V'heichan nifra lohem. Where and when did they get punished for causing their father to tear his clothing in mourning? The Mitzrayim. It happened in Mitzrayim. Later on, Shinemar, as it says, Vayikru'u sim lo sam. They all tore their clothing. Now maybe you remember what this is talking about is when the Shvatim are leaving, and this time leaving with Binyamin, the second time they're leaving, and Yosef has had the cup, the chalice, planted in Binyamin's bag, and they open their bags, and they see what's happening, and now they have to be taken back to Mitzrayim to face Yosef. When they saw the cup in Binyamin's bag, they all tore their clothing. So the Midrash says that they tore their clothing as a mita keneged mita, a punishment that they had to endure for causing their father to tear his clothing out of grief. That's the mita keneged mita. Now, if you go up to the very top right side of the page, where it says Veheichan Nifra, and there's a letter Chaf there, and although it got chopped off in the photocopy, this is the Eitz Chaim. And he says, Veheichan Nifra, where were they punished? In Mitzrayim. Shafilu be'inyan ha'kriya nifra lohem kidumuso. Because even the very specific inyan of tearing clothing, they were punished for. Va'afal gav de'binyamin ha'vinami be'hadai hu'sanam. Maybe you're thinking this. Hold on a second. Binyamin is with them. As a matter of fact, the cup is in his bag. But was Binyamin involved when Yaakov tore his clothing? He was not. He wasn't in on it. So why did he have to endure having his clothing torn with the others? So there's an expression which is quoted here. Bahade hutsa laki krava. When you weed, when you pull out weeds, you pull out some cabbage too. As you're in the wrong place at the wrong time. So you're weeding a garden, pulling out the reeds. There's a couple of things that are growing in there, cabbage, which are good. But because the guy's pulling out the weeds, he's going to pull out a little bit of cabbage too. So Binyamin is with the other Shvatim. They all deserve this punishment for bringing this grief upon their father. He's with them, so he also has to tear his clothing as well. So that's one nuance. And one way to look at that is because you could say this. You can always say this. There's Hashgacha Pratis. If Hashem wanted to, he could make it that all of the brothers would tear their clothing except for him. God can do that. And he doesn't do that. But I think it has to do with that we are always responsible for the company we keep. That's part of human choice, the company that we keep. And Binyamin is part of the group. And even though you can say he wasn't part of what happened, he didn't bring it about, but this is his company. And for the most part, you know, those are extremely great men. That's really good company. The Shvatim Halavai, we should have such company. The Shvatim, Shivtei Ka. In this situation, he's with them, they get punished, so does he. Along with the weeds comes some cabbage. Okay, that's the first part. Now in this thing, just one second, okay? In the next three scenarios, it's going to be a little bit different. So back in the Midrash, it says, Vayikru Sim Lo San, they all tore their clothing. Now we have three more. Yosef Goram Lishvatim Likroa. Yosef caused the Shvatim, the tribes, his brothers, to tear their clothing in that incident which just happened over the cup. So he brought that about. How? Because he had the cup planted in Binyamin's bag. So therefore, Omad ben Beno, later on in history, his descendant came around, v'nifralo, and he was punished too. Shenemar, as it says, Vayikra Yehoshua Simlosav. Yehoshua tore his clothing. Okay, so what's this talking about? Yehoshua ben Nun is from a descendant of Rachel. And even though Yosef is not directly, Yehoshua is not directly a descendant of Yosef, but nonetheless, he's part of that B'nai Rachel. Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry. He is. He's from Ephraim. I'm sorry, my fault. Yehoshua is from Ephraim, and he gets punished as a descendant of Yosef for what happened here. So, what's different here about the brothers tearing their clothing as a result of what Yosef did, and the brothers tearing their clothing as a result of what they did? What's the difference between them? I'm not asking it right? Let me, I didn't ask it right. Let me ask it a little differently. When Yosef caused them to tear their clothing, wasn't that a punishment that they had to endure anyway? Because they caused their father to tear his clothing? That's a better way to say it. So the first part of the Midrash says they had to tear their clothing because they caused Yaakov to tear his. Now it says Yosef had to tear his clothing, meaning his descendant, because he caused his brothers to tear. But they had to anyway.
He was
what? He was the catalyst,
like,
right?
Like we had to suffer the Mitzrayim, but they didn't have to be the ones to do it.
Exactly. And that's what the Mephoshim were going to say. Yes, it's true that they had to undergo this as a result of what they did to their father, but you don't have to be the one to bring out an onus to another person. So if Yosef is involved in bringing about an onus to them, that means there's something there in him as well. Let me just get to the commentary for a minute. We'll see that. So back in the Eitz Yosef, 1, 2, 3 lines, set 2 lines down, very end of the line. Yosef Goram, top right of the page, 3 lines down. Afagav demashe Yosef Goram Lishvatim Likroa. Even though that Yosef brought about their tearing their clothing with the cup of Binyamin, Atzad ha'onesh hoya. And even though they really deserved that already from before as a punishment for what they did, Mikol Mokom Gam Hu Ne'anash, he still is punished al yidei shemegalgalim chova al yidei chayav, that something bad comes through a person who somehow deserves to be the conduit of that bad thing. So if there's a liability or a punishment coming through somebody, then there's some liability in them. That's megalgalin chova al yidei chayev, v'gam anush l'tzadik lo tov. It's not good for a tzadik to be part of somebody else's punishment. Now, we're not talking about sonei Yisroel, the enemies of the Jewish people. We're not talking about our enemies who try and attack us and kill us. If you kill them, that's a good thing, right? That's a good thing. We have to defend ourselves. We're talking about, you know, besoch hameinu. So here Yosef is involved with his brothers tearing their clothing, even though they deserved it, but there's something there that it came about through him, and therefore his descendant, Yoshua ben Nun, has to be punished for that. Yeah, Rebbeson, please.
Two things. One is, to me, I would think the obvious, terrible garment rending that happened with Yosef is with Yosef's Potiphar. Doesn't she tear his?
No, she takes it.
She doesn't tear it.
She takes it, right.
Okay. And the other thing was that it's not just that he was involved. It's just that he was trying to bring about their rise.
He was trying to help them.
He was doing all of this not to punish them, but to elevate them. Mm-hmm. They should be able to get it right.
Mm-hmm. As we all know, Yosef in his tzidkus, right, the Rebbetzin's saying, he was actually trying to bring about the tshuva process for the brothers, which ultimately he did. So it's like to say, don't try that at home. We can't do that to other people, right? I'm going to put you through the process of you're having to do tshuva, right? You have to be Yosef HaTzadik to do that, but he was, and he did that. So why is he held accountable? So the parish on the bottom is going to address that. Do you want to respond to that?
Yeah. Because he has an achrayus in having, I don't want to say provoked, but certainly promoting their jealousy. In other words, he did things to...
By Yosef. By Yosef debas samra el
abiha. Rub it in the face, level.
It's interesting that you say that. I was kind of wondering that. Yosef has a little chelek in this. Mm-hmm. But Meforshim don't say that. I was kind of thinking maybe we'll see that he has a chelek in it. And maybe that's understood. You know, because it had to come about through him, there's some kind of chov in him as well. It's just that nobody says it outright. So I'm not sure. But we will see that addressed shortly. Dora, yeah, please.
But the brothers did something.
Right.
Yeshua did not.
Okay, so let me say what happened with Yeshua, and you're right, didn't do anything wrong. So that's talking about the battle with Ai. And the battle with the city of Ai was the only battle that they lost when Yeshua entered the land of Eretz Yisrael, and they waged many wars. Yericho, the great miracle that happened there. There was one battle that they lost, and that's because they had taken loot. One person took loot from the city of Yericho. He was not supposed to do that. And as a result of that, they lost the next battle at Ai. The Navi says that they lost 36 men in that battle. The Chachamim say it was only one man who was equal to 36, Yair ben Menashe. So when they lost that battle, Yehoshua tore his clothing. That's the context of this pasuk. Vayikra Yehoshua sim lo sav. So Dori is saying, but really Yehoshua himself didn't do something wrong. So two ways to look at it. One is that he didn't, but his people did. He's responsible as the leader for every single person. He's responsible. And something happened to Klal Yisrael under his watch. There's a certain something, therefore, on him. But that's not what the Meforshim are going to say, actually. That's just my own thought. You see that idea, that all of Klal Yisrael, in a certain respect, is responsible, but, of course, the leader of the nation. But we'll put that in the back of our mind, because we're going to say one more thing about that. Yes, please.
Similar to the Rav said about the company we keep.
Right.
Is that they didn't keep the Ahant from taking the loot.
Right.
So it's the same idea of the company we keep.
A good thought. It's a reflection. And as actually, Rav Aaron Cutler, Zechariah Sadek, in his Sefer, he alludes to that. He says, if that can happen in Klal Yisrael, that Ochan takes lut, it's reflective of the entire people. He is part of the company that they keep, Haverim Klal Yisrael. Elke, you had a question before or a comment?
Yeah, please. I just wanted to say that earlier when you mentioned that when you pull out the wheat, some cabbage is going to come.
Yeah.
Is that kind of like when the sultan has control and the Malach HaMavis, then people that are caught up
yes.
may
die.
Yeah,
if they're in the wrong place.
Yeah.
Now that's also, we should never think that that's not a form of hashgacha. That's a form of hashgacha also. It's a form of hashgacha that a person lost their life, God forbid, in a situation where al pidin they were not truly chayev. That's also min hashamayim. No one's life is taken which is not under God's control. But there's some higher reason why that person had to die. Which was not related to deen they had in this situation because they were naki, but there's some higher reason, and this is where their life was taken. It's like one hashgacha interlocking with another hashgacha, and Hashem brings them both together. Okay, now just before we answer the Rebbetzin's question on Yosef, we'll do a couple more because we have to gain a little more background before we answer that question. Okay, so we have Yosef, and his descendant Yehoshua has to tear his clothing. Now, who's the next one who's involved in the cup being discovered in Binyamin's bag? Binyamin himself. So the Midrash says, Binyamin goram l'shvatim likroa. Binyamin caused his brothers to tear their clothing. Why? Because the cup was found in his bag. So you might say, that's not fair. Right? Hold on a second. The cup was planted in his bag and it was discovered, and therefore they all have to suffer for that. And it's his fault too a little bit. So who in his descendants tears later in history? V'heichan nifralo, where is he punished for that? B'shushan habira. Later on, at the time of Purim, Shenemar, as it says in Megillah Esther, Vayikra Mordechai es bigodav. When Mordechai hears the decree against the Jewish people, he tears his clothing. Mordechai is from Shevet Binyamin. So Binyamin's part, his role in causing his brothers to tear their clothing, even though they're already chayiv themselves because of what they did to their father, and even though it wasn't his fault, but he's involved in it, so his descendant somewhere, Mordechai, will tear his clothing too. He's implicated. Yes, please. That's absolutely true. In our times, we don't do this. We don't just tear our clothing when there's a sad situation, except Rahman al-Itzlan, if a family member passes away out of mourning and grief. But otherwise, we don't do this. So they did it as an expression of grief. Now, it was an expression of extreme grief and sorrow and concern that they did that. We don't do like this anymore, but they did in these situations. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's Binyamin. And then we got one more. Menashe goram l'shvatim likroa. Menashe caused the shvatim to tear their clothing. Can you think why?
Did he put the cup in his bag?
He was involved, right? He's the one who planted the cup. He's the one who Yosef said, chase down my brothers and bring them back. Menashe was involved.
Okay, well, he did it.
He's really Yosef's right-hand man there at that in that whole situation. Therefore, lefikach, this one's a little different, Niskara nachalaso, his portion of the land of Israel is torn in two. Chetzia be'eretz, be'eretz hayarden, the chetzia be'eretz Canaan. Half on the other side of the Jordan, because Hatzi Shevet Menashe is over there with Gad and Reuven, and half in Eretz Canaan. So the Maharzu, who's a commentary on the left, he points out that there's no mention of anybody from Menashe tearing their clothing or his descendants. Nobody tore their clothing. So therefore, we are saying, where do you find it? You find it here in a much more subtle way, that his chelek in Eretz Yisrael was torn and he has half in and half out.
That seems worse.
It does seem worse, doesn't it? However, perhaps there's an idea there of being able to, you know, lift up and bring Kedusha over there as well, on the other side of the Yarden. Gad and Reuven and Chatzi Shevet Menashe. Right. So three people are implicated who were not really directly involved: Yosef, Binyamin, and Menashe. It's really the Shvatim who caused their father to tear his clothing. They have to be punished for that. But because all of these three very great people were slightly involved, nothing goes unnoticed in the Din Shomala, and therefore somehow that has to be carried out and taken care of in the future. Right now, we're going to see the bottom commentary on the page. Just 1 second, okay? Where it says, Eshed HaNecholim. The very bottom commentary, Vayikru'u Sim Lo Son. They tore their clothing. It says letter Chaf there on the bottom right. So why did the brothers tear their clothing when they discovered the cup in the bag of Binyamin? Merov Tsa'aram. Because of their great anguish. It's a very sad moment. Mida b'mida l'chaper avonoseihem. And it's mida k'negen mida to be mechaper for their averos in causing Yaakov to tear his clothing. V'chein Yosef goram lohem tsa'ar. Yosef caused his brothers tsa'ar as well, because he brought this about by planting the cup. Now here's your question, Rabbitson. Af shohoya l'kaparasam, even though he was doing it for their own good, for kapora for them, nonetheless, im kol ze tsi'aram alchinam ki lo gunvu hagavia. He pained them for no reason because they didn't actually steal the cup. So Yosef's plan was a good plan. He brought his brothers to do tshuva, but he had to invent a pretense which was not emes. And therefore he is a little bit liable for that. They didn't steal the cup. That pretense, that non-emistic pretense, was his implication in it. So now he goes a little further. V'lochein nishtalem gam lo mibnei banav. So he too is also eventually paid back in the future when his descendant Yehoshua has to tear his clothing. V'chein Binyamin. Likewise, Binyamin. Now you might say that Binyamin has no chelek. Why should he? He's completely faultless. No one put the cup in his... He didn't put the cup. He didn't even know about it. He wasn't involved in Yosef's Mechira. Now, here's a fascinating midrash that I never saw until this year. V'chein Binyamin. Sheyada mizeh. Binyamin knew that the cup was being planted in his bag. Yep, that's what I said. I said, what? And it comes from the Sefer HaYashra, which is an earlier midrash, and the Eitz Chaim up here quotes it as well, which we'll see in a minute. Now, not everybody says this, and I'm going to say the more conventional approach to this is that Binyamin was completely taken aback. But the Sefer HaYashra, which is an earlier midrash, says Yosef told Binyamin, and he let him in on what he was doing, and told him, and that plant was with Binyamin's knowledge. As he says here very briefly, B'chein Binyamin Sheyada Mizeh. Binyamin knew about it. Now that means to say, Binyamin, who's also a tzaddik, saw merit in Yosef's plan and says, yeah, this is the right thing to do. Or he simply had no choice. But nonetheless, he knew. So Goram the Mordechai, V'chein Kulam, and likewise all of them, they're more tangentially involved, not directly involved. Achzeh HaHevdel, but here's the difference, because you might be thinking, the Shvatim brought it on their father, they themselves had to tear their clothing. The other three, Yosef, Binyamin, Menashe, it's their descendants. It's not them. They don't get it directly. So what's the difference? And he says this is the difference. Shahashvatim sha'asu bekavana nifra mehem atzman. The shvatim were intentionally knowing what they were doing and causing grief to their father. They knew what was going to happen. They knew he'd be in such a state of sorrow, and they did it anyway. That's bekavana. Now, they had their own plan. Again, they're tzaddikim, but they knew what they were doing, that this would cause tsar to Yaakov. The Yosef shekivein letova, but Yosef had kavana letov. Lekaporas avonam, for the kapora of their avera, al kein lo nifra mimenu me'atzmo ki imi b'nei banav. So he himself is not directly punished, but later on it comes back on his descendants and the others as well. Yosef, Binyamin, Menashe, that's all the same plot, you might say, that's happening there. They're not directly causing. They know that they're involved in a plan for the sake of Teshuva and Kapora of the other brothers. They know that's coming about. So they don't have to suffer directly, but their descendants do. It waits several generations down the line. Yes, please, Mrs. Fred.
I don't know if it was brought up before, please. But Penina had the same idea about Hannah.
Right.
And that was, she got terrible.
Yeah, she lost her children, right? So, yeah, so Penina, she's trying to make Hannah upset, so she'll daven. Hannah doesn't have kids. But as Mrs. Fram pointed out, that was not the right thing to do. Her kavana was good. Her kavana was right. But still, she's mitzair deeply. Another person, she got punished. Yeah, that was. Oh, you're saying that the kavana was good. Oh, okay. So maybe it's like this, but it still involved intentional tsar. She was trying to be mitzair her. So now you could say, well, they were also trying to be mitzair the shvatim, right?
No.
Yeah, you say differently. Yeah, what would you say?
Well. I feel like it's different because they needed a kapara. They actually did something wrong.
Right.
We don't know that Hannah did anything wrong.
Okay.
She didn't, I mean...
Just trying to be ma'orer her for tefillah.
Right. Mm-hmm. So that to me is already completely different.
Okay.
She has no responsibility mm-hmm. to bring a kapara for her.
Okay.
And then it just seems like, I don't know if he's really saying this, but that when he said that Yosef had in mind that this was for a kapara for them, and they... The level of tsar that they have from this, in some ways, is reflective of their level of bitachon, I want to say. And at some point, they recognize it, and they kind of say, this is all from Hashem, okay, you know, for what
mm-hmm.
we did.
Mm-hmm.
So the tsar is now more coming from where it should be coming from, which is the mistake that they made. It's not about the... God.
Whereas there, it's just tsar.
Right. So that, yeah. In other words, they mm-hmm. have an opportunity. They could right away say, okay, they didn't have to have tsar. All of their tsar could be related to their transgression.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that they don't right away relate it and they're upset about this goblet business is because they're not thinking right away where everything's coming from.
Mm-hmm.
They're thinking they've been framed.
Mm-hmm.
But then when they think about it some more, they...
They get there.
They get there.
They get there. Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm saying, that,
mm-hmm.
you know, if they would have been maybe even on a higher level, what am I, you know, they're very, very mm-hmm. high level, but maybe they wouldn't... The only thought they would have had would have been for their own kapara. It wouldn't have been...
The other layer. Okay, I hear that.
And then I just want to say that, Binyamin was in a bad situation there because... I mean, not Binyamin, Menashe. Because, so if he hadn't have done that, then he would have been over not listening to his father.
Right.
So he had to choose between two punishments. I mean, he would, either one, he'd be liable for something.
Right. He's in a situation. And that, I think, to me, is the theme of the Midrash, that they're in a situation, but there's a reason they're in it.
And they couldn't
have... It has to be a reason.
Menashe could not have...
Right.
It out.
So there's some hashgacha in that. That a person is responsible for the situations they are in. If there was no level of responsibility, we wouldn't find ourselves in that situation in the first place. There's some level of responsibility there. We don't necessarily know what it is, But we're given that message, Megal Galin Zechu Salyidei Chayev, that if we are the means of tsar for another yid, and that was us, we got to take a look. It wasn't my fault. I didn't do anything. I'm innocent. Yes, 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 true. But there is something there. Something there. Yeah, just a level of responsibility that we have to look at ourselves. Yeah, please, one more thing.
I'm just thinking about all this time of garments, how nice it was, all those years in the midbar that our clothing stayed very nice. I don't know if it's related to this or not. But
all the years in the midbar that our clothing stayed very nicely laundered and clean,
and
right?
And no tearing.
Right. Yeah. Now, just by the way, there's another tearing of clothing in this week's parsha, which is not mentioned. Reuven tore his clothing. When he went back to the pit and saw Yosef wasn't there, Vayikra, Simosav, he tore his clothing. It's not mentioned here at all.
So did he tear twice then?
Yes. He tore there, and also maybe he's the Bechor, he has a double portion, right? Please, Jody.
I was just a little worried about the subsequent generations because they didn't even see it coming. I mean, they were like really removed from it.
So Yeshua is hundreds of years later, Mordechai, like hundreds and hundreds of years later. So again, that's all b'hashgacha. Now, why Hashem decides that it's going to come back around 1,000 years later, who knows? That's Hashem's hashgacha. That's where he saw fit to bring it around. But it's also important to note that he brought it around to great tzaddikim, Yeshua ben Nun, Mordechai HaYehudi. Hashem found his place to bring this back around to extremely great people. And maybe he's waiting for someone who's at the level of the Shvatim to be able to bring this out in a way which is, okay, this counts. No, they're great, he's great, this is the time. Obviously, I don't know Hashem's mind, just a thought. Please, yeah.
Doesn't it have to be unclear because otherwise it would be no Bechira? Like we're trying to find a clear, something that we can understand exactly, but we always say that one of the reasons it's unclear, because if it was totally Tzadik Hatovo all the time, then there would be no Bechira. So this is like another love, like in this level.
It's true. Right.
It seems like, well, we still don't understand.
Right. It keeps us searching. It keeps us looking and makes sure that we're not complacent and we can't be because there's always some other area that we can make a tikkun on in our lives. Very true. There was another hand up. Yeah, Mrs. Fran, please.
In Parshas Noach, when it says that, well, Rashi says that when there is a catastrophe, when there's Amunusia, then it's Horegas Tovim Vibra.
Oh, right, right.
So are we saying that the Tovim deserved it on some...
On some level. That's, yeah, that is what I'm saying. That even though...
For the Holocaust.
Yeah, absolutely. Anytime you have good people who perish because, so to speak, they're in the wrong place at the wrong time, that's an English expression, there's hashgacha in that also. Nobody loses their life because they happen to be in the wrong place, wrong time. That's a higher level of hashgacha that person also, it was their time to die, and this is where Hashem found his way that they would die, even though they're not chayiv in that particular situation. And so many situations we can think about, you know, where we could say something like that. That's also a form of hashgacha. Yeah, Elka, please. Kahud Hasaira, right?
Exactly.
Like a hair.
So, these are great things for us to be thinking right. about, but probably these are not things. The message for us is not the exact same message.
It's not the exact same mm-hmm. message because we're not like them.
Right.
But the message is the same in that we are, if we see in our own lives that Chas V'Shalom, we brought pain on another Jew.
Right.
Even though maybe our intention was good and things like that, we have to be very cognizant of that.
Yes, that could happen on a much, in quotes, smaller scale.
Yeah.
You know, we insult someone by mistake, we didn't mean to, but we did, and
right.
we felt badly. You know, our Ben Adam L'Chavei Ro, like, it's not in this huge global thing, but this...
In our own way, in our own life, in our own context.
These things do happen, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So
we have to be aware. And that all these situations are, so to speak, indirect. But they're still responsible. Yeah, one more. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Is it the same lettering as and like to cry out?
No, that's with an olive.
It's with an olive, but I was going to say that sometimes a Rav Hirsch says that these things.
When you have letters of similar origin, yeah.
And, you know, so you could see where each one of these times would be a crying out.
Yeah, it's a nice thought. And that's an open gate when you have an olive and an ayin and similar letters, the Hemot Sa'os HaPeh. You can kind of think about relationships between letters in that way. Esther, how do you handle that with you?
Yeah, I'm thinking that here Yosef wanted to bring about Tshuva, his brother's Tshuva. Mm-hmm. And he followed a thought or an inspiration, whatever, to do it this way, which was somewhat underhanded. I mean, just looking at it, planning. And although it did wind up actually bringing, you know, the whole series of events, they did Tshuva. If we're looking at, as Elka was, at in our daily lives, here and now, not being tzaddikim, but still, I think it's very possible, especially for those of us who are helping individuals, that we may think we have to be very, very careful, not only in our intention, but in helping someone, but also in how that is brought about, and really question not only our own motives, but the methodology. And to me, that's kind of, since I need to think of how this applies to me and whatever in this lifetime.
Yeah.
That seems to be a big lesson.
It is. It is. It's a very, very good point. How methodology, thought, no, we can't impose our lives on other people, can't manipulate other people, chas v'sholem. So yeah, the way that we try and help other people is crucial. And I remember our Rebbe Zatzar Petrusky used to say that when people ask me to help, I help and I step out. Right? He felt like a person has to be independent. And even fostering a dependency, which some people do. Sometimes a helping person, even lekaf schus, unintentionally, is fostering some kind of dependency between them and the person they're helping. Sometimes, unfortunately, it's not unintentional. They're getting some kind of ego boost out of that, and they're perpetuating that relationship in that way. So the idea of helping somebody in a really objective way, and then, okay, my job is done, and now I step out, it takes a tremendous amount of clarity and also allowing another person to be themselves and who they are and live their life. Very important thoughts when it comes to being a helping person, which we all are in many situations in our life. Yeah, thank you, Esther. Jody had a hand up before? No? Thought I saw a hand over here? Nobody? No? Okay. Yeah, Revison, please.
In terms of the tearing,
yeah.
It seems like it goes up in that, like, I think in a certain way, it's what Mordechai was in a position to do. It's a weird thing to say, it's a zuchus, because Klal Yisrael is suffering. But to be at that level and to be that person who's tearing his garment for the whole nation who has now come under this decree of Haman is...
That's very big.
It's perfect. Mm-hmm. He does the perfect thing at the perfect time, and it's a tremendous zuchus. Mm-hmm. And you go back to that first tearing, it was not that kind of a tearing. It was a tearing of the brothers to do away with their brother, I don't know what.
So maybe it's even the tikkun, right?
So, on the actual tearing. You can see it as it goes down. So that's like the least, you know. I understand there was a level of doing it l'shem shemayim because they thought he was more of a model. So there was but still, there was self-interest there in terms of their personal feelings towards their brother.
Right.
And then the next one I think we see is the brothers with the...
They're tearing over the cup, right.
So also
that's out of
still
grief.
In that mm-hmm. thing. Yehoshua now is another level, that's mm-hmm. national grieving, but still it's the fault and Klal Yisrael
in the people.
Achan did this.
Mm-hmm.
But by Mordechai, okay, there's also a hate that the people
Achashverosh
did
Hasuda,
but
right.
It seems to me like mm-hmm. it's going up in terms
interesting,
of,
right.
So that there's a full kind of, uh-huh. like this is where, like, you know, you cried at the wrong place, and now you cry at the right place.
So maybe so the later Kriya
it seems like the,
is a tikkun for the earlier one. That's also a very nice thought. Okay, what time do we have? I can't see the clock. 10 what?
15.
Okay. All right, so I'm going to do this. That's the end of that midrash that we're learning. And Yashar Koach, I found that very intriguing all the way through. This is a completely separate topic, but I just wanted to read out for you this Tirgum Yonasan ben Uziel about Tamor, who's about to be burned, about to be killed, suspected of adultery. So he would say she is there ready to be killed, and she sends to her father-in-law, identify these items. And then that's when Yehuda says, Tzadka mimeni, she's righteous, it's for me. So this is what the Tirgum Yonasan says in this situation. Tomer mis'apko li'ito koda. Tomer was taken out to be killed, to be burnt. Uba'as tulas mashkanoya. Mashkonaya, and she was looking for the three things that Yehuda had left. So that's his signet ring and his a cloak and a staff. Velo ashkachtan, and she couldn't find them. So can you imagine? What a time not to be able to find something, right? She's taking out to being killed, and she can't find the three things, the collateral. So what does she do? Talus aineha. She turns her eyes, lishmei maroma, to heaven, the chen amorus, and she says, b'va'u barachem min kodama Hashem. Hashem, I come to you, please have rachamin. Ani yasi, please answer me, b'hadoh sho'os ananke, at this time of my anguish. V'anhar aynai, and open my eyes, illuminate my eyes, va'ashkach t'los sahadeh, so I can find those three witnesses. She calls them witnesses, that they're Yehuda's, and it was him. And what will I do for you? Va'anoa mekaymo loch min chartzai, and I will put forward, I will produce from my own womb, t'losa kadishaya, literally from my own loins, three holy men, the Mekadshin Shemach, who will sanctify your name, the Nachtin La'atun Nura, the Bikas Dura, and they will be put into a flame of fire in Bikas Dura later in history. And who is that? Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, who were thrown into the fire by Nebuchadnezzar. So she's about to be burnt. She says, please help me find this Hashem, and my descendants will be Mekadesh, your name, by going into fire. Ba'ashata, Ramaz Kudsha Brichu L'Michoel. At that moment, Hashem hinted to Michoel, the Malach Michoel, Va'anhar Aineha, and he lightened her eyes, Va'ashkach Tanun, and she found the three things. So Hashem closing her eyes not to be able to find them was in order to bring about a tefillah on her behalf. So she davened. And when she davened, she said this incredible tefillah, and of course that is what happened. Vansivas yason, she took them, betalkas yason, kame ragle dayanaya, and she put them at the feet of the judges. Yehuda is amongst them. Va'amaras gavra de ilain mashkanaya didei mine anoma abra. The man who owns these three things, it is to him I am pregnant. Vafa gavda ana yokda leis ana mefarsamale. And even though I'm about to be burnt, I will not publicize who he is. As we know, that's how we learn about not embarrassing somebody even at the threat of a furnace of fire. Baram, more alma yitain bilavave diakir yasam. But let the master of the universe put it in his heart to recognize them Vishezev Yasi Mindima Rabba, to save me from this din. And then, of course, Yehuda, he sees them and he identifies himself, and she is saved. So, striking Yonasan ben Uzziel, I wanted to share with you what a great woman does with her hashkacha, the situation that God has put her in, and how she transforms it into tov. All around the lineage of Mashiach. Yes, please. Yes.
Goes back to when they showed Yaakov.
Yes, yes. Mr. Shulman's pointing out the Hakirna that the Shvatim said to Yaakov Avinu, do you recognize this coat? That's the same thing that Tamar said, Hakirna, recognize these three things. With another Mida Kenegan Mida. Have a great day, everybody. Yashar Koach. And a beautiful Shabbos.